Welcome to Mimiki TV. Get ready to break through barriers, fuel your faith, pursue your purpose, and market your message so you can impact the marketplace for God.
Come and enjoy a conversation I had with Dr. Pam Morrison on her podcast, Rooted by the Stream. Enjoy.
The big problem is that, especially if you've grown up in the church, we've made to think that unless you're in full-time ministry, you're not doing God's work.
Yes.
And I'm here to say that really 99% of us are doing God's work being in the marketplace. Because if you think about it, you know, people live and go to work. We have commerce. We buy products. We buy services. We create things. We create services. Even having a job working for someone else is still part of the marketplace, right? And where do we meet people? We mostly spend our time during the week at work or running a business and meeting others. And that's where I feel the real ministry is. So I'm really excited about helping to equip those who are called to leadership and not necessarily in the church, but those who are rooted in the church, but feel they're led to either be businessmen or speakers, or even mothers who are raising future leaders have an important thing, an important task to do. And I feel like, you know, if you just look at Jesus's ministry, he didn't say, hey guys, I'm going to raise a fund and we are going to make a building and this is where we're going to have it in this code in Jerusalem. So everybody come and join me on Sundays. He's like, no,
yes.
He went out to people's homes. He went to them. He traveled to them. He went and washed the feet of the people who were considered low lives. He's the one who had dinner with people. He went out. He infiltrated the marketplace. He went into and met people where they are. So, and that's where I feel is a huge shift that we need to make, especially with the way the world has shifted. And our mindset as Christians is that we need to be willing and open to see where God is. It's not about, hey, this is what I'm doing, God. So I would like it if you could bless me. Thank you. See you next week. He's like, I want to partner with you now. I want to be with you in your waking and your sleeping moments. I want to be like, for me, God is my business partner. I've realized I gave up my ticket and my membership to Control Freaks Anonymous a long time ago. I can tell you it was exhausting trying to manage my own life, trying to make my own decisions for me and leaving God on the shelf when I needed him. And yeah. I really realized that doing life with God is so much more fun. I finally realized what he means about being having that childlike faith. It was like, oh, God, what are we going to do today? He's like, okay, I want you to email that person and I want you to send just a quick note here and I want you to post that. I'm like, okay, cool. Oh, this is going to be fun. It's like, you know, what's going to happen next? And sometimes, well, very much the majority of times, I don't see the result of those seeds that I plant.
Yes.
6, 12, 18, 3, 5 years later is when I start to see how that seed that I planted, that positive word that I gave someone, that encouraging, maybe they heard about one of my podcasts or read one of my books or heard me say something somewhere, just that kind word or that encouraging word has such a huge impact. Like I really, truly believe we align ourselves with God and he does the multiplication. It comes back to the loaves and fishes, right?
Yes.
And I'll tell you, I come from a business mindset and as a marketing strategist, like, okay, what's the plan? Okay, we need a blueprint. We need A, B, C, D. We need to follow the plan and tick off the boxes. Yeah, I'm a list. I also love lists. But I can tell you the epiphany happened to me, and this is also something we can talk about, the whole that was a catalyst for my book, which is Warrior to Warrior, A Mother's Journey from Fear to Faith, is I didn't realize what I didn't know about myself is that I was living out of fear. Every decision I made was based on a fear response. Like, well, if I don't do that, maybe they don't like me. And maybe if I say that, maybe I'll offend them. Or maybe if I do that, you know, but constantly having this internal pull that says you need to be doing something else with your life. Like either you're in the wrong place, you're doing the wrong thing, or this is the wrong time. And one thing God's taught me, and I tell you, I like things done like yesterday. I'm a go-getter. I get up and go do things. Sometimes to my own detriment, I'll keep pushing myself until I fall over. And I basically am laying on the floor. And my husband's like, you only have two gears. It's full blast at 100 miles an hour. Or there is no in between. So this concept of resting is, you know, God and I are working on that. He's still helping me figure that out. Because sometimes I'm like, what? You want me to do nothing? Like, but does it mean, but maybe I should be thinking of this like, the one day he gave me this vision, he says, you know, you and I are like in the car on this journey. We decided we're going to go to this awesome on this awesome journey to this great, great place. You said to me, I could be the driver of the seat, in the driver's seat. And yet you are like the backseat driver. Every time I say, okay, we're going to go here, you are looking at the GPS like, okay, mate, God, there's a detour there. I think we should take 59 on 77 and then turn down 45. He's like, I've got this. I know where we're going. I'm like, are you sure we shouldn't go and stop there? And maybe we should check out what they're doing. Oh, look what they're doing. That looks super cool. And he's like, will you just chillax? I know where we're going. How about you stick your head out the window and just enjoy the breeze, you know, like a dog or a kid that stick their hand out and feel the breeze.
Yes.
And kick back and enjoy the ride. I'm like, but are you sure? Have we got enough gas? Like, have we checked the oil lately? He's like, oh my gosh, you are driving me crazy. Sit back, relax, and enjoy the ride. And I can tell you, it's taken quite a few years to get my sticky fingers off the steering wheel and off the GPS or even the map. So, and now, I mean, it's a work in progress. I'm not to say that I'm perfect. None of us are. You know, that's the whole point I've realized is like a big epiphany, like hit me between the eyes, what he means by glory to glory. You know, yes. We might not be where we want to be, but thank God I'm not where I was. Like, I have learned to let go and let God direct my day. And I can tell you, it really relieves a lot of pressure, because when you are living in that control freak perfection performance, like for me, I was addicted to performance. Like if I didn't have anybody's approval and I was doing things to act, you know, even though when people read my bio now, I'm like, ugh, I insert eye roll. Cause I'm like, yeah, right. That was the old me constantly striving for accolades and attention. Because at the end of the day, I didn't know there was an internal root that kept growing, a root of rejection.
Yes.
That had been seeded way back when I was a kid. Now, I'm sure all of us and those listening have a story to tell. We all have the junk in our trunk from our past, right? That there is always either some trauma or some story that leaves us scarred. But what I didn't realize that just brushing them under the carpet and trying to pretend like everything was fine, eventually, you know, we are a mind, body, and soul. And our soul is made up of our mind, our will, and emotions. And, you know, Jesus resides in our spirit. But sometimes, you know, when we haven't dealt with those roots that are still trapped in our soul, like our emotions, especially in our mindset, the body will tell us. I mean, disease is dis-ease. When you're not living in ease, your body is screaming at you, hello, I'm in pain here. I'm trying to tell you something. Something isn't right. So, you know, I'll explain. The way I grew up in South Africa was a bit different. My eldest, who's 21, she says, Mom, you grew up like in the baby boomer stage in South Africa. You were like 20 years behind the rest of the world. Because I grew up in an environment where corporal punishment was still allowed.
Yes.
So, you know, you misbehaved, you'd get whacked on the hands if you were a girl and on the honey if you were a guy. But we were told, suck it up, Buttercup. I don't care how you feel. It's not about your feelings. You just have to pull yourself together and pull up yourself by your big bootstraps and put on your big girl panties and just carry on. So for me, I've always had that inbuilt in me, like, listen, even though it's painful, you just have to push through.
Yes.
And that can have, you know, a two-edged side to the coin, right? Either it could mean, yes, resiliency is good and not giving up is good, but sometimes we can push too hard and we get into our own strengths. But what I've realized, like anything, if you're driving a car and it's not, you know, if God isn't in the driver's seat, eventually you're going to run out of gas, and that's not a pretty sight. You can't go anywhere. You get stuck on the road. Things start to go. The fan belt breaks. The clutch pedal doesn't work, and eventually you're not a very effective vehicle for change.
Yes, yes, so true.
And, you know, so I think that I'm always thinking, you can tell I'm very visual. So I'm always thinking in pictures, like, what does this mean for me? So I can tell you, for someone, and you can tell, I talk very fast. I have to learn to slow myself down. Something if I would just zip my lip. What you see, all that glitters isn't gold. Like, a lot of the time, you know, we have a choice in life. We can go either way. We can either go internalize our anger, and often that results in a lot of depression, and you know it can get worse that way. And some of us go the other way. We go external. We start to shout and scream and get aggressive and want to prove to ourselves that ain't nobody going to treat me like that ever again. Like, who's said that before, right? We make these vows to ourselves that, you know, I don't want to feel that way. Like, for me, an example is I got severely bullied when I was 13. Mm. And I allowed those scars to stay with me, and I was going to prove to them that I wasn't stupid, that I had something to offer. You know, I got teased for not being great at math, but I was like, you know, forget that. I wanted to prove that I have worth. And unfortunately, when we go that way, we really move away. I kind of talk about it like moving outside of God's umbrella. Like our umbrella with God is how he's designed us. He's designed us with our gifts, our talents, our skills. And we have experiences in life which are there to prove us. Like I love movies. I don't know about you, but I see something prophetic in a lot of movies, especially like the Wonder Woman. Like
yes.
I see that as life. Like we know we're chosen for something important. But just like anything, she has to go through boot camp. And sometimes it hurts. She has to be, people are coming at her and she's throwing her sword around and she's doing flips and kicks. I can guarantee you boot camp ain't pretty and it's not comfortable. And
yes.
That's really what life is. It's sharpening us, making us ready. So when we do need to step up and fight, we've had the experience. And I think that's really a mindset shift. I want to encourage everyone today that you don't have to look at your past experiences as something to be endured or something to shove away under the carpet and never talk again or something to prove, but that it's something to teach and it's going to make you stronger because everything you learn and everything you go through is not for you. Like, newsflash, when I realized my life isn't about me, I was like, oh, what a relief. Oh, thank you, Lord. I don't have to keep worrying about what it is I'm doing. And realize I'm not a human doing, I'm a human
yes.
being.
Yes.
What has he created me to be? So I need to just stay in my lane, stay under his umbrella and realize he's given me grace to be who I am in my lane. So I don't have to worry about Susie Q's doing in her lane. Like, let her do her thing. Like, it doesn't really bother me. I just
yes.
need to stay in my strengths and I need to stay in what God is, because I really believe grace is one of those things that he gives us. And it's almost like, grace would be described like unmerited favor. Like, you know, some people in the world like to call it lucky. I don't believe in luck. I believe that it's God's favor. But
yes.
sometimes grace for it is seasonal. And I definitely noted that when, you know, the years I was a professional photographer. And I do remember when God was shifting me and I was very resistant. And I literally felt the grace lift. Like before I would do things and things would go well. I'd just get clients. I mean, I'd take these beautiful pictures. I never had an issue with my camera. Then all of a sudden, the day that grace lifted and where God says, the season is over, you need to move on. I was like, no, this can't be. I was still holding on. I pushed and shoved and tried and things went wrong. Clients started canceling. My camera started acting up. I started making silly mistakes. And I was like, once God lifts his hand, and it's not to say he's not there for us. He wants us to shift into something else. He's
yes.
turned the page. We're still busy trying to reread the last chapter or linger when he's like, no, it's time for a new chapter. So the other thing I've really, really realized through this process is that God is a God of seasons. I mean, just
yes.
look outside your window, right? Look at how he works. He never rushes us from winter to summer. There has to be a growth process. And this is something a lot of us as humans have a hard time with. Is understanding the timing and the seasons where we are in life, that even things like a winter season can be beautiful. Like I remember, you know, this a very hard time I was going through, you know, around about 2015 and 2007, between 2015 and 16 and 17, we're like, ugh, I call those the wilderness years. The whole time I was like, God, get me out of here. This is terrible. Everything's falling apart. I was having a really hard time with one of my kids who was, you know, severely depressed. My business fell apart. I was, you know, trying to do these business launches and I lost money. My body just collapsed. I was, burnt out, literally couldn't move. I felt exhausted. And I was like, I just kept pushing and pushing and pushing. It's almost like banging my head against a stainless steel wall. And he says, I want you just to rest. I'm like, I say, what? Rest? Like, what's that? what? Shouldn't we be doing something in the resting? So this
yes.
was, I feel like a very painful process. But if I had just surrendered, I probably would have saved myself a lot of pain. But
yes.
what I've realized is in that winter season, that's when the germination happens, right? You think
right.
about it, you're in the ground, it's dirty, it's mucky, you can't see it, it's dark, it's cold. And for a whole winter, you don't see any growth. There's no greenery, there's no fruit, it seems dry and arid, and you're like, why am I here, God? Get me out of here.
Yes.
It's like, I look at a butterfly, how a butterfly comes to be is, first of all, very comfortable being a caterpillar, crawling on the ground, seeing the world from an earth low-level view. But there comes a time when God's like, okay, time for the transformation. What happens is a caterpillar goes into chrysalis. And this is scientifically interesting if you look this up. What happens during that process is in the dark, while it's in a cocoon, you can't see what's happening, and it seems like it's still. But what's happening is that caterpillar is literally turning to mush. Its whole yes. body is starting to change and transform. And you think, how amazing is that, that from a caterpillar, this transformation is happening, that at the right time, when it's right and it's ready, and the transformation and the training and the healing and the realignment has happened, then God will say, okay, it's time to break free when it's the springtime. But so many of us are thinking, like, I want things to go back the way they were. I don't like the way the world's turned.
Right.
Pining for what's been instead of just saying, okay, God, where do you have me right now? What are we working on in the dark? Because, you know, God will work on you and build your character in the dark, in private. So he knows that you are mature enough and ready to handle the criticism when it goes public. Because you've seen these stories of celebrities who get famous too fast. They crash and burn. It's because they haven't had the character growth. So really, long story short, is don't fight the process. If God has you in a winter season and it seems hard, instead of asking for the next get out of jail card, kind of think about, okay, God, let's shorten this time now. What do you want me to learn in the season? Where are those areas that are I need to grow? Or maybe some of the weeding, I need to get rid of stuff that's, you know, the rocks that are holding me back, that's not good soil. How do we create a heart that's good soil? So then when the time has come in spring and the sun starts shining and you're ready to come out from the darkness, you are rooted and you're strong and you're ready to take the world on and do exactly what God has required of you with his grace, then it becomes fun and it doesn't become.
Yes.
When we're young and like kids are like, are we there yet? Are we there yet? Are we there yet? And we're like, oh gosh, you know, as parents, you're like, would you be quiet? We'll get there when we get there. Are you asking me that question? Isn't going to make the whole process speed up. So just sit back and relax and then do something fun in the backseat for Pete's sakes. So it's the same thing with God. It's like, I realized I kept asking, you know, get me out of here. This hurts. I don't want to be here. Like, can we move on now? And eventually he's like, as you start to shift, you know, especially if you come from, you have some pain and you have some trauma, it's always oftentimes like, why me? And we feel like the victim, like, why has this happened to me? This is not fair. I don't understand it. And you kind of think God is a good parent, just as we as our parents, and we look at the different seasons and the stages our kids go through. When we're toddlers, of course, we're going to kick and scream and throw a hissy fit when we don't get our way. I mean, my kids, I tell you, my eldest as well, strong-willed. Great, she's, you know, very great now as an adult, and she can figure her way out. But oh my gosh, what a challenge to raise a strong-willed child. Like, if she wanted something in the store, I'll never forget going to the store when she was two. My son was like about 6 weeks old, and you know, this was living in England, and I'd carry him on in the car seat, and you know, she would decide she wanted something, and I'd say, you know, for heaven forbid, said no, and she would throw herself on the ground.
Oh,
she was screaming like fish out of water. I just leave the groceries, carry her underneath like a football, and then basically get all on home just to get away. And say, this ain't happening right now. She's not going to be mature enough to go to the store yet. So I am not doing this. So and I think this is the same, right? And I started realizing, instead of me kicking and screaming and wanting my own way, I started realizing, okay, God, what is it that I need to learn? And I was like, well, then what can I do about it? You know, then I went into do mode, like, okay, I need to fix things. I need to do that. I need to make that. I need to create that. And let's push, push, push. And if it doesn't go my way. But eventually, once we go through that process and we realize we come to the end of our own self, come to the end of our own hope, we realize that we are finite. There's only so much we can give as human beings. And that's where God talks about being connected to, we are the vine, or he's the vine and we are the branches. That if you try to disconnect yourself from God, you eventually will wither and die. But it's staying continually fed, continually growing. It, you know, a tree doesn't become a tree overnight. You know, just like we talked about nature, you've got to give it time. And eventually my question started changing, saying, okay, God, what about me? What should I be doing to help you? And really aligning to, instead of going to God in prayer and saying, I need this and this and this, and this person needs this, and, you know, just like an eight-year-old asking Santa Claus for a Christmas list, like a wish list, you start to get a bit more mature. And of course, as a teenager, you're like, well, it's got to be about me. This, I don't like this. This is so uncomfortable.
Right.
I'll get out of here. But eventually we grow up And we realize that as an adult, life isn't about me. I'm here to take care of others. As a parent, I and I become, you know, as a child, I've become the parent, and I understand God's perspective now that he couldn't give me what I wanted at two because I didn't have the capacity and the maturity to handle it. He couldn't give me everything on my wish list when I was eight because he knew that was wouldn't be good for me either. There were certain things I had to learn to wait because waiting is actually a really great way of building your character. Yes. And then, of course, you know, as we become parents, we shift and we realize this isn't about self-gain. This is about how I can turn around and help the next generation. So just like anything, there is no overnight from mustard seed to huge tree. There is a process. Right. And I think if we allow ourselves to go through that process and start asking the right questions and striving towards that better glory that God says in his word, we eventually come to a stage where we, you know, we align with God and God is our partner. And we're like, hey, God, what are we doing today? And he becomes your friend. It's not about, like, I am allergic to the word religion. To me, religion is a man-made set of rules that, again, dictates how you should behave. And God isn't like that. He's like, he wants to play with us in the mud and go jump in puddles, even though it's raining. He's like, hey, let's go have some fun outside. I mean, my 10-year-old, she goes, every time it starts raining, everyone freaks out, but I want to just stand out there and lick the sky. I'm like, well, that is a great analogy. So she's like, chillax and be more of a kid. Yes. And I think if we have that mindset to, you know, there is growth, and as a good parent, God can't give us everything we want. He knows that there's a certain time we have to be in timeout, but then there's a certain time to grow. And as we get old enough and we have to go through learner's permit before we can drive the car by ourselves, it's the same thing with life. So I just want to encourage the listeners that, you know, doesn't matter where you are right now, embrace the season you're in. What's past is past. What was, of course, is where we were comfort in our comfort zone. But comfort zone is a boring place to be. Nothing grows in the comfort zone. We have to be ready to push out, extend ourselves to something new and stretch, just like a rubber band. When you first get it out of the box, it's really stiff and it has that sort of that powdery, that sort of rubbery smell. But as you start to pull on it and stretch it and put it to use, what happens is it never regains its original shape. It expands with more capacity. It then becomes it's able to do more because it's being used. So we just need to be flexible and allow God to use us and to stretch us to new areas and new places and say, this might have worked last chapter, but God is doing something new, especially now in the world and the church. I think we need to press our heads really tightly to God's chest and say, God, what is it that you want me to do in this season? What is my role to play? You know, I know you've designed something. Like, what's the script? Like, tell me the script and what I need to do in this play. Because right now, God is, he's the master director. We all have our positions and our places. And we just need to be aligned and get in the right seats. Because the worst thing we can do is try to be on somebody else's bus going in the wrong direction. Because eventually, the trip will take you where you don't want to go. So that would definitely be my encouragement. It's just really, just press into what God says today and go with that. Are you ready to grow? Come join our group mentorship to stretch yourself and reach your full potential. Go to mimikakuni.com to reserve your seat today. I have